Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Storytime. Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
My father was a park ranger, and he always loved the woods as nature provided him and his family with countless memories. My grandfather was also an explorer, so he always used to wander to many places with his curious mind. Eventually, my father acquired the trade and became a ranger. It was one of those holidays when tourists come in search of adventure but end up getting in trouble. People come to the national parks for fun experiences, some for field research. However, there was this team whom my father had assisted. They had come in search of a secret, unknown toy. Now, I know I may sound like a total dumbstruck human, but they were a team of 5 researchers who were sane and educated, maybe more than the rest. One night, my father's acquaintance got a signal on his walkie-talkie. It was a signal from one of his fellow researchers. After grabbing his rifle, he went ahead and investigated. When his Jeep would not allow him to go any further, they had to walk the rest of the path. The tracker with the group stopped working after one time, so now they had to search in two different directions. Therefore, they decided to tie ribbons the way they were going so nobody would get lost. Yellow was his color, and blue was one of his partners. As my father went ahead, he tied ribbons as a mark of the way. He kept venturing deeper into the woods but could not find the group. Therefore, he tried to contact his partner through the walkie-talkie but never got an answer back. Now, he was still walking, tying ribbons, when one time he encountered a yellow ribbon tied to a tree. Maybe he took a different route before. Then again, he did go in a different direction, looking out for them. After 15 to 20 minutes, he encountered the ribbon yet again. This kept happening, so this time he stopped to take a rest. While he was sitting under the tree, he looked up casually, and the ribbon caught his eye. It looked different for some reason, so he got up to look at it, and to his surprise, this was not the ribbon he tied earlier. These ribbons looked old and worn out. Besides, the knot on the ribbon was double knotted, and he tied them in only one knot. This area is restricted, where only important personnel were allowed, so who would come all the way out here and tie these yellow ribbons halfway to a tree? He knew something was amiss. My father came up with the idea of following these unknown marks and finding his way to the correct ones. When he was walking his way back, he heard some singing, and there was light coming from that direction. When he was walking in the direction of the light, he discovered a group of researchers who were wearing weird clothing and dancing in circles with fire in the middle. There were only four of them. One person was missing. He hid behind a big tree and tried to figure out what they were trying to do. Two of them went into the woods, brought a big wooden branch, and a man tied to it, his two hands and legs bound together. He was definitely dead, and they had tried to cook him alive. My father was scared to see this, so he reached out to contact his partner, but there was no response. After making that choice, he left, but when he got up, he heard the sound that something was still around, and now his life was in danger. He too ran away, and these cannibalistic murderers were still behind him. He climbed up a tree to try and divert their attention, and they were there waiting for him just below the tree. When he carefully looked at their feet, he could see that these things, they weren't exactly people but like people. They were wicked looking, well, they looked human, but they were different in appearance. He knew immediately something was very wrong. These things scoured around the forest looking for him. They didn't realize that he had climbed himself up in a tree and was waiting for these things to leave. They were these hideous looking creatures that were like men but emaciated, slender, and white, having huge fangs and large, hollowed out eyes. And once they had finally disappeared, he slowly made his way down the tree, looking in every direction, making sure these things were not coming back. That's when my father began to fall unconscious. He was poisoned. Something had seeped into his skin, and he fell right there, collapsing on the forest floor. The next thing he knew, he was waking up in the hospital. When he described the incident to senior officials, they denied his statement. Any clearance he had should have been revoked. It was very shortly after this that he was no longer a park ranger. He was stripped of virtually everything he had at that career. It was also after this that my father had received multiple death threats, and there were some things he'd seen that day and information he knows that is very sensitive and not allowed to escape into the public. I was born in Alabama and for the past 30 years have lived in several rural communities outside the Birmingham area. I spent most of my childhood roaming and exploring the woods and mountains. Although I've never flat out seen a Bigfoot, I have had things happen that I look back on now and it makes me wonder. I say now because of an incident that happened to me right at the end of this last winter. I bought a new .22 Browning pistol and was going out just about every night deep into the woods to shoot beer bottles that littered nearby trails. There were two main trails. One was an access road that ran alongside the interstate for putting up, taking down or just maintaining the billboards, and the other was a really long trail that led to a clear foundation and a parking lot. That in of itself was really odd to me because of how remote it was, but given all the spent shells in the area, I assumed it used to be some sort of old lodge or hunting club that was torn down. On the nights leading up to what happened, I had killed two hares and deer for sport. Shame on me, I know. I had seen countless more. The remains would always be gone the following night, which I attributed to coyotes or other wild animals, even though I found it a bit strange for an entire deer carcass to disappear without a trace overnight. Well, one evening I got the feeling I was being watched. I looked in the direction from which I thought I was being watched, and all I saw was what looked like two orange security lights side by side way off in the distance. So I kept walking. After only a few steps, I could hear leaves crunching 30 or 40 yards off the trail in the woods and up the hillside pacing me in the same area where I felt the gaze. When I looked back in that direction, the two street lights I had seen were now clearly red glowing eyes just staring at me. I could now see a branch directly above the eyes, which gave me something to tell how close or far away it was, and that it looked to be about 3.5 to 4.5 feet tall. I assumed it was just a deer, but couldn't figure out how the eyes were reflective with no light source when I pointed my flashlight away, or why I could see both eyes simultaneously when you typically see one or the other at a time, since deer eyes are on each side of their heads. I started up the trail after the animal, being sure to keep an eye on him. When I turned and took a few steps, it was gone. No galloping or leaves crunching or fading away. Just a few brisk steps and then nothing. When I walked up the hill to where whatever it was had been standing, I saw the branch that looked to be 3 to 4 feet off the ground from where I was standing was closer to 11 or 12 feet off the ground. After analyzing the surroundings and the event at length, I was left scratching my head, because whatever I had seen was either an optical illusion which I couldn't account for, or a beast I only caught a glimpse of standing no less than 8 feet tall with red glowing eyes. I was always the type to disregard any Bigfoot stories up to that point, but when it happens to you personally, it's a whole other story. There was no odor associated with it, which I know often accompanies these kinds of sightings. We live in a small town on the outskirts of a large city. It's a small street with a few nearby forests. My best friend and I, who at the time were maybe 7 years old, we're over at our other good friend's house. We opened the back fence door, and his dog ran off. This was odd, because she was very well trained and never disobeyed him. So, we waited outside in the driveway, facing toward the creek in his backyard. Behind the creek was another street and a small forest. We turned the corner around his little shed to look over, since we enjoyed the view. We saw something massive walking between the two trees. It seemed to hide behind one. After we saw it, both my friend and I were almost scared out of our wits. This thing was massive, 7 or 8 feet tall, covered in hair, and had a weird, disfigured face. Now, you might be thinking this is just a child's imagination, but my friend saw it too, so I can't really write it off as just that. I didn't really have a wild imagination either. Even when I did, I could always tell the difference between that inside my head and what the real world was. I never really exaggerated either. Plus, my friend saw it too, so I know it's true. Still, to this day, we talk about what we saw in the woods that day. We don't really know what it was or what it could be, but it definitely is one of the creepiest things I have ever experienced. This encounter took place when I was 13, June at the time. Three of my friends and I, aged 13 to 14, who I'll call Sam, Cam, and Ned, take a 4-day camping trip on the Wisconsin River in South Wisconsin. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Wisconsin River is relatively long, relatively wide, and has long shallow stretches as deep as a couple inches to a couple feet. You have to walk your canoe through some of it. Moist sandbars run down the middle of the river. The adult on our trip was Cam's grandma. Even well into her 60s, she had wilderness skills. She has incredible stories, from viciously biting home invaders to protect her daughter, to hiking through remote mountains at midnight and sleeping surrounded by wild horses. Major peace, love, and happiness type from the 60s. One of the most fascinating people I've ever met. Anyway, we set up camp on a beach at about 3 p.m. on our first day. There's a lone, still fisherman slightly upriver from us. This is strange given we're mostly in the middle of nowhere, but there are occupied properties here and there on the river, so it's not crazy. Immediately after we arrived, Grandma realized she had left her coffee cup in the car. She decides to make the kayak trip by herself back upriver to where we parked, just to grab the cup and come back. Left alone, we boys go off to play in the river shallows. Landscape-wise, there's our beach, with dense forest behind it, and a strait about 90 meters across between the beach and a sandbar. We're screwing around in the shallows for maybe 30 minutes. Then I remember being on my stomach in the water and looking up at Sam staring all glazed into the distance. We all look. The fisherman from earlier is on the sandbar about 50 feet from us. None of us remember him getting so close, especially since he had no boat and would have to wade through the water. I remember there being a strange glare from the sun so we couldn't make him out perfectly, but he was a thick man with a droopy long-brimmed hat. We could not see his face but collectively had the feeling he was looking at us. It was obvious he knew our adult left and decided to close in. The timing was perfect. Whatever, we say and head back to the tent. We're behind the tent for maybe a half hour playing cards and gathering firewood. We take turns peeking around the tent to check on the status of the fisherman. He's moved in, off the sandbar, through the shallows, practically on the shore of our beach. Yes, the river is an open area, but it's unspoken that you wouldn't wander onto someone's campsite, especially when kids are alone there. We're weirded out, and Sam, being a badass 13-year-old, breaks the ice by waving his arms and yelling at the man, "Hey! What's up? Hey!" No response, but the man turns his body towards us, staring, completely still, like wildlife caught in headlights, or Bigfoot in one of those blurry photos. After a few seconds, he does a 180 and just starts walking away from us straight back into the water, like he intends to keep walking until the water comes up around his face. We move to hang out at the other end of the beach. It's been 3.5 hours since Grandma left, and we have no idea when she's supposed to be back. We're on the completely opposite side of the beach from our camp, and due to the forest, we couldn't even see it. But as we round the bend again, we see the man standing on the shore, practically on our campsite. He's walking around our bags like he's patrolling the perimeter of the camp. Not his camp, our camp. Little more than a silhouette. And he has something. Not a fishing pole. I was never brave enough to get close and check it out in detail, but all three of my friends will tell you he had a rifle. Over his shoulder. From where he got it, we don't know. He should have been able to see us from where he was, but he didn't close in anymore. We decide to play it cool all the way over behind the trees where we are. Luckily, Grandma arrives on her kayak shortly. We call her over to us to tell her everything, but I swear to you, by the time we pointed over her shoulder to show her the fisherman, he was gone. Like a vision. We saw him one more time, late that night we were having a fire. The moonlight on the water illuminated his shape all the way back across the river where we saw him the first time, fishing in darkness. We said, "Who was that guy?" We went back to making torches. I remember digging my phone out of the waterproof box and trying to send this blurry, creepy picture of the fisherman to my friend as proof. Due to connection, she never got the image, but one text message went through to her that reads something like, "He's back. He's like a weeping angel or something, coming closer only when you look away." I'm late, and no one will read this, but here goes. I didn't actually see anything though. My adult son, three teenagers, and myself went to the Smokies to see the fireflies at Elkmont. We had a spot at the campground at the bottom of the hill. We were walking back down the road from the little river trail to the campground. I kept hearing footsteps behind us. Told my son to be quiet a second, he heard it too. Swung our flashlights around and we're the only people on the road. It is pitch black out because of cloud cover, no one would have been walking there without a flashlight. It was really freaky, because it was definitely the sound of shoes on pavement. Before I had heard that, my son kept swinging the flashlight into the woods because he could hear what sounded like someone walking there. The area we were in isn't good terrain in daylight, it would have been impossible at night. I was doing an overnighter with a group of people from a sports team I was on in high school. We were having a ton of fun shooting the shit and playing dumb games. I was probably 15 at the time, so you can use your imagination as to what we were up to. Around 11 we headed to bed so we could wake up early the next morning to work out. Now the grounds we were on had our camp, which was on a ridge overlooking the lake and another one about a half mile down the trail. There was a big open field in between the two camps and a couple of outhouses and trees dotted the fire trail. So I fell asleep pretty quickly because I had my own tent and didn't share with anyone. I was already starting to sweat despite the absolutely freezing temperature outside. I didn't have the rain cover over my tent, so the wind went through my tent, which made it even colder. So in my nice and warm sleeping bag I fall asleep. I wake up sometime during the night to yelling, and I see a large bonfire light up the field between the two camps. If I recall correctly, there was a fireball at some point while I was awake. Then I heard what I thought at the time to be chanting, but in my barely awake state I dismissed it as drunks. I look at my phone and it's about 12:30 a.m. If it was later I would have woken the group leader and had them call the park ranger, but I deemed it too early to do so. At this point I was getting kinda hot and was sweating a bit more. So I shed my shirt and sweatpants and fell back asleep. Then I wake to hear a sustained high-pitched note. The note dropped and raised several times. It honestly scared the F out of me, and the inside of my sleeping bag was drenched in sweat. Being only half awake, I say aloud, "Who the F is playing a theremin?" I look at my phone and it's about 2:30 a.m. I'm scared out of my mind and I started to wake up. My heart started pumping and I felt a surge of adrenaline as about 1,000 thoughts a minute raced through my mind. Whatever tune it was playing sounded alien. I thought it was just an alarm or something, so I try to close my eyes to go back to sleep to no avail. I listened to the same pattern for about 15 minutes trying to calm myself down enough to sleep. I was petrified with fear as the minutes ticked by. The tune started to vary over time. The notes went from quick succession to a more mild drawn-out tempo with maybe 3 or 4 seconds a note. In my sleeping bag it was uncomfortably hot, so I summoned up enough courage to open my bag to let some air in. It was honestly one of the nicest feelings I've ever experienced. Either I fell asleep or the music stopped, because next thing I knew it was 6 a.m. and the group leader was yelling at us to wake up for breakfast. I immediately started asking around about the noise last night and I got one of two responses. "What the F is a theremin?" Or, "Yeah, I heard a party, but that was it." Nobody else had heard the very alien tune. It worried me even more, to be frank. After breakfast we went on our morning workout and passed the camp below us. It was a fairly large group of maybe 30 to 40 people, at least those that were out and about at the time. They were just waking up and had very grumpy looks on their faces. As we passed them, some of the group members stared right back at me. I locked eyes with one of the members and my heart started to pump again faster than usual for when I run. I turn and stare straight ahead until we were out of view of the camp. We stopped to stretch and I started talking to someone about something unrelated and completely forgot about the midnight tune. I didn't really talk about it after that, chalking it up to some weirdos doing weird things at night. Now you probably have some pretty obvious questions. Are you sure it wasn't a dream? Yes. I'm 95% sure. I never had a dream like this before and haven't had one since. In my dreams I don't feel physical sensations and I don't see clearly. My dreams have a haze to them. Were you hallucinating? While possible, it's extremely unlikely. I don't do drugs and I don't drink. I've never had it happen before or since. It's possible that there was something around that did it. I did slide down a hill when I lost my footing earlier in the day, but I didn't come into contact with anything other than dirt, rocks, and leaves. If it did happen, wouldn't someone else have heard it? Not necessarily. There's pretty good odds that everyone was asleep. It was a relatively small group. Was it the wind? No. It was theremin. I'm 100% sure of that. It was too distinct. The notes were too purposeful and changing to be the wind. I haven't a clue what happened that night, if I somehow found the exit to the Matrix or the entrance to a parallel dimension. If anyone more informed than me in psychology or even occult practices would like to chime in, I'd like to get some closure on this. That's where I'm leaning right now. They were either summoning Satan or my brain was. Either way, I will never be able to forget the sound and feeling of waking up in the middle of the night hearing a Russian spy's instrument. I went hunting one time with my dad. The area we go to is fairly well populated and most of the people are pretty nice. One night in our fairly remote campsite, I got up to go pee and kind of scurried back when I heard some rustling in the bushes. Probably just a deer, right? Yeah, I'm fine, no worries. I hop back in bed and about 5 minutes later, while I ease trying to fall asleep, I heard the sound of skin against canvas as a vague hand-like shape appeared on the side of the tent and ran its way along the wall. I stayed quiet and the figure reached the end of the wall and disappeared back into the night. Needless to say, I woke my dad up and we sat there restless with our bolt-action rifles all night long. Not hiking so much, but late night walking if that counts. My fiancé and I charged bird scooters for a while until the scavenger hunt feel of it wore off. One morning we were out at like 4 a.m. to drop them off in a nest at the edge of our neighborhood. For some reason the bird app wasn't working and wouldn't let me scan the charged scooters to get paid. As I was standing near the truck debating throwing my phone into the nearby canal, my fiancé noticed a girl walking towards us with a guy maybe 10 feet behind her. She was wearing what looked like a slutty referee Halloween costume, but it was two weekends after Halloween and even in Arizona it was too cold for that shit at 4 a.m. They say a honava gets cold, but I would have been. Anyway, as the girl gets closer to us, it's clear she's messed up. My fiancé asks if she's okay. She pauses and whispers he's following me, then turns and books it down the sidewalk away from the man. Straight into a huge light pole. Clang. She hits the ground, dead phone falls from her hand. Concussion-inducing hit if I've ever seen one. She stood up, gathered herself and her phone, and ran off again before we could even try to help her. But it was clear she was terrified. At the same time, the man disappeared into the darkness along the canal path where they came from. So I called the cops and explained what happened. They sent two patrol cars over immediately, but I have no idea if they found the girl. One afternoon, friend and I hiked to the top of a mountain, started hiking down in the pitch black and noticed an old man walking towards us. As he got closer, we finally realized that he was dragging a shovel against the gravel while hiking up the mountain. He didn't say a word to us as he walked by. I wish I could have made this up. Had to stay late after school once and took the late bus home. The late bus dropped us off at a neighborhood rec center because it was in the middle of the neighborhood. Anyway, this girl who I had a class with but didn't really know her made it a point to ask me to walk her home. It was on my way to my house, so I didn't mind. We're walking and I see a van creeping on us. I told her not to panic. I grab her and we take off running toward an abandoned house and cut through the yard to get to the other block. Then down the way I see the van skid back around the corner. The van was about 200 yards away and we ran down the block to a dead end where my cousins lived. No one was there. My cousin's house had a side door that wouldn't lock and all you needed to do was put some muscle into it and it would fly open. So I hit it open, got inside and got her to call the cops and our parents. While I ran to my cousin's locked box and got his pistol. By the time the cops came, my mom and brothers were already there and her parents were minutes away. When I found myself in a valley, an exceptionally isolated and wild region of Canada. This valley is accessible only by boat or float plane, if that says anything about just how formidable the wilderness is. It does have plenty of springs and geysers, so the valley is almost consistently shrouded in mist. I'm telling you this because it tells you how crazy I was to be dragged out here. I was desperate for money, and the person I was working for was desperate for support. I agreed to a healthy paycheck if I managed to survive. The valley is often referred to as Headless Valley, if that tells you anything. Almost all the bodies that turn up in the place have suffered decapitation. My employer had a crew of about 13 in total, including him. A few were like me, in it for the money, the rest were full-blown monster-loving psychos. For the sake of the story, I'll refer to my employer as John Alpha, just to keep his identity safe. Mr. Alpha planned on having a séance on our very first night, being a very spiritual individual. A heavy rain had him cancel that plan, which was more than fine by me, since I'm a pretty firm atheist, but I'm not a strict materialist either. There was something about that valley that I felt, a weird feeling. At least we weren't going to freeze. I was surprised at how comfortable the valley was compared to the rest of the wild, thanks in part to the springs. I could see how animals and the rest of the world couldn't sustain. Down here, at least, as far as hiding goes. Mr. Alpha enthusiastically explained that we were going to set up a mobile production studio in a tent. I suddenly had the feeling of being exposed, no more protection from the evil of the valley than the men that had passed through during the Age of Gold. I was assigned to do reconnaissance on the area with a co-worker that I'll call John Beta. Again, these aren't real names, I'm just using these to protect the identities of the individuals I had this encounter with. Bear with me. All we got for the job were GoPro cameras and ghost detecting equipment. I swear, this stuff looked like it was made for movie sets rather than serious paranormal investigation. We began our hike in thick birch woods. We felt that the white bark would make other things easier to see. Also, it felt way too open and exposed if we had decided to stake out in the open. The woods are where all kinds of scary stuff happens, but you would have had to be there to know that feeling that I'm specifically describing. John Beta seemed much calmer than me, and he pointed out how high-strung I was and that I should afford to relax. I, in turn, pointed out how every dead body that was ever recovered from this valley was decapitated and that if he didn't believe me, he could simply Google it himself. He didn't. He shook his head. The ghost hunting equipment registered nothing as far as EVPs, and I didn't expect them to either. I tried not to think of all the ways that the valley earned its reputation of being legitimately haunted wilderness. I felt the need to relieve myself, so I ducked down into a natural pit that was lined with grass. I came out just in time to see something that looked equal parts prehistoric and demonic rushing up to my boss. It took his head off with one clean blow. To say that this thing was massive doesn't do it justice. He clearly didn't see it coming due to the fact that it was a perfect shade of white to blend in with the surroundings, and the way it had moved with perfect silence was disturbing and chilling. The only detectable noise being the disgusting sound of his snapping vertebrae. I have never felt that kind of raw, blind terror before in my life. This animal could have easily passed as a massive white wolf, but it was too broad. There were too many features that didn't quite fit, tiny ears, tiny eyes, a strange long, muscly tail sweeping behind it. The head was very large, broad, and flat, like a smooth stone you'd find in a riverbed. The creature was busy tearing the flesh off this body. That was the first instance of things going wrong that could be followed by many more. I swore up and down that it was due to the valley being haunted, but Alpha agreed that we would be getting results of the ghost hunting equipment. He was just smart enough to pack us up and leave at the end of all of it, before we would be utterly stranded. Listen, I feel like some of the evil energy of that valley has followed me home, and I have to talk about it with somebody. That's why I feel I need to reach out. Maybe my story will serve as a warning, but there are some places you should just avoid poking around in. Now, as far as that animal is concerned, I don't know what it was, but I'm glad we survived. I received a gift from my uncle that ultimately came as a surprise, to put it mildly. The guy didn't like me, he never had, even when I was a child. It's one of those enduring family mysteries that never really had any real explanation. It just simply was. When I was well into my adult years, he was a declining old man. He had sent me a letter, the first one, in fact, I'd ever gotten from him. He was sending me the deed to a plot of land in a forest located deep in Canada, of all places, and supposedly came with the cabin he had hand-built. I looked it over and made some phone calls to make sure it wasn't fake or a hoax. It appeared to be the real deal. I, being immediately suspicious, was this a trap? Not unless he had hired a gang of bandits to hang out. Maybe he felt bad for me, that was sorely unlikely, but it was the only piece that fit. It took me a while to get everything together, but I finally flew out there. It was indeed remote, and he wasn't wrong. It wasn't just situated inside a forest, it was practically swallowed by a forest. I mean, you could easily lose track of how light or dark it was just because of how dense the woods were. But it was peaceful. It was time to check out the cabin itself, and it may as well have been condemned. but the land was good. I was going to step outside to enjoy some more fresh air when I looked at one of the broken windows, and I froze in place. At first, I saw the bear. It was a black bear, and it was looking straight at me. But here's where it gets weird. There wasn't something quite right about it. The eyes did not look focused, and the head seemed to kind of have a limp. 2 seconds later, I saw the monster that was gripping the black bear in its jaws. I couldn't have told you what it was, but I could tell you that it was enormous, as if a bear and a wolf had begotten offspring together. The bear was dead, and I could not run outside without being seen. I watched as this monster tore this animal in pieces like it was nothing. I was a prisoner for what felt like hours as this large animal ate far larger than the bear had killed. It's almost as if, by some act of God, the thing left. I fled, exhausted from terror, standing there waiting for the thing to pick up my scent and come after me next. The flimsy front of the cabin wouldn't have even held up if this thing wanted me badly enough. No, I have not contacted my uncle yet to let him know that I survived. However, if I see him again, I'm probably going to let him know what happened. If you're a hiker, a camper, or any sort of outdoor nature enthusiast, there will be certain safety drills that you will have practiced over and over. Everybody knows this. You will know and be educated on what animals to look out for, which plants to avoid. You will recognize danger before it ever happens, and if, in the worst case scenario, something goes wrong, you will not only know exactly what to do, but you will have all the necessary equipment. At least, this is what I had always thought. I have been outdoorsy my whole life. I would definitely consider myself an expert in all manner of nature and outdoors. I thought or assumed that I would be prepared for anything. Not in a vain way, but if I came across a cougar or bear, I'd like to think I would know what to do in order to survive. But I wouldn't start trying to wrestle it to the ground. It's important to know your limitations, to be very aware and safe. I know the correct course of action for almost any animal encounter, except for the thing I am about to tell you about. It had been very wet, and I almost gave up the idea of a hike that I'd planned. I always wear long tops, tucking my pants into my boots, and covering myself in bug spray. Besides, mosquitoes love a good feast, so you need to be careful, and of course, they love hot, damp, humid weather even more so after a storm. I had planned this particular hike for ages and needed to be there at a certain time to take a photo of a very specific plant, which should be in bloom at the time. Against my better judgment, I went again, proving you shouldn't always listen to your instincts. But that day, I didn't. I was about halfway through the hike and very close to where this particular plant should be when I heard a loud buzzing. I was already smothered in spray and was very liberally reapplying every half hour or so. I swear you must have been able to smell the plants from miles around. I was aware of the buzzing, but pretty confident at that point that nothing would want to come near me. There shouldn't be any bees, wasps, or hornets around me, and most other bugs would be, as intended, repelled by me. The closer I got to the spot where this plant should be, the louder the buzzing and flapping appeared. I could even feel a slight breeze as I parted the branches. I very suddenly became aware of what was making the buzzing. If you could imagine there being a giant bug, the size of a small human, standing, then maybe you would have ever seen the fly. If you could imagine there was a giant bug, the size of a small adult, standing there on two legs, very reminiscent of the movie The Fly, then maybe you would have ever seen the fly. If I had a guess, I'd say about 5 feet tall. It had a long, thin body with bendy legs, very similar to that of a grasshopper, but also very humanoid looking. It had long wings, which were constantly moving, and the fact that it stood on two legs was terrifying. Its head kind of reminded me of an ant or a grasshopper, very bugged out, no pun intended. It was also black and bright green. It looked more alien-like, to be honest, than it did a giant insect. It didn't quite seem to notice me, so I very slowly let the branches fall back in place and turned around as carefully as I could, creeping very quietly for a minute or two so I could be sure it hadn't heard or even sensed me. Then, I ran with everything that I am. The most annoying thing about it now is that I had my camera in my hand to take a photo, but then if I had taken the picture, would it have possibly noticed me and even pursued coming after me? I guess that's a question I'll never know the answer to. I never knew what to call them until recently. The other day I was curious to see if anyone else had experienced what I saw and felt, so I began to research translucent beings or predator-like sightings. That's when I learned that the phenomenon is called Glimmer Man, which eventually led me to you. I had an experience with the Glimmer Man in the late 90s at my parents' house in Lowell, Massachusetts. I will never forget this experience, as this was the most terrifying encounter I have ever had in my life. 2 deployments to Iraq and 8 years as a cop. Nothing comes close to the fear I had that day. I remember this happening in the late 1990s. I would have been between 10 to 12 years old. We had 2 phone lines in our house. The main line is located by the living room and the second is in my brother's room. My 2 oldest brothers had already moved out of house and my brother wasn't home at the time. I asked my mom if I could go hang out with my friend who lived 2 blocks away. She agreed, but I remember that she was using our main line. I went upstairs to use my brother's phone to call my friend. I walked into my brother's room and began to dial my buddy's number. I got about halfway through dialing and I froze. All the hairs on my body stood up and I was covered in goosebumps. It felt like my stomach sank. This feeling of being watched and that something came into the room behind me just hit me from nowhere. I knew it was there. I felt its presence. It was like it wanted me to know it was there. I slowly lowered the phone from my ear and carefully turned around. It was standing in the doorway of my brother's room, blocking my escape. It was huge. It was as tall as the doorframe and about as wide. I couldn't see eyes, but I knew it was staring at me. It looked crystal clear as water with the edge of a human form. Its cloaking or invisibility appeared to fluctuate. Like the way the light passed through it seemed to refract in different directions. Almost like water that could take human form, but it obviously wasn't water. The only other way I could describe it was like the predator in the film series. In the short period that I locked eyes on this creature or being, I began to pray profusely and uncontrollably. It felt like I had no control and the words shot from my mouth. In seconds that probably felt like minutes, it stepped into the room and towards the windows across from the door. I never bothered to see where it went or if it disappeared. The moment I saw the opportunity to escape, I bolted from that room and down the stairs. I ran probably the fastest I have ever run in my life. I'm not even sure how I didn't get hurt. My mom, who was just getting off of the phone, asked me if I was all right. She could tell something scared the hell out of me. I'm now 35 and thankfully, I haven't experienced or seen anything else like that since, and I'd like to keep it that way. I'm glad that I am not the only one who has seen them, as it made me question my sanity. I consider myself to be skeptical and still try to figure out logical explanations for what happened and I can't. So, what the hell are these things? Undiscovered life forms that have been here all along? Evil beings, spirits, demons or aliens? It seems to me that in most encounters I've read, they instill fear and terror. A little background. In 2010 to 2012 I was fresh out of high school and took part in a ghost hunting team in the Houston, Texas area. During these experiments we did regarding supernatural entities, there were about 4 to 5 instances where we encountered real unexplained phenomena. 2 stick out to me. 1. The most striking was an investigation we did at a local urban legend, an isolated place in the middle of nowhere called Screaming Sheila's Bridge where several occult activities and murders had been reported. After 2 hours of nothing burger as we were leaving, a dark presence came upon the forested glen. My friend decided to taunt the spirit of the forest and without hesitation, a blood-curdling scream erupted causing all wildlife in the forest to run for the hills immediately, coyotes, rabbits, deer, insects, birds. The whole 9 yards. My friend began walking slowly towards the scream in a trance-like state without speaking. My other friend and I rushed to grab him, and as we did another scream erupted. We hopped in the van, our electrical instruments going off the charts, and scurried away through 35 miles of uninhabited land, back to safety. 2. Using our electrical monitoring equipment in a church that had experienced aggression from a local satanic cult, and had found leftover Wiccan rituals in its attic, We set up shop in the creepy church next to a lake and began communicating with what claimed to be a reptilian entity. One recording device was left alone in tandem with a camera for 2 hours. When we retrieved the device, we played it back and were shocked that 5 minutes into the recording, flames could be heard. The flames continued to build for several minutes, seemingly growing. Checking the camera, we were astonished to see nothing. Not a whimper. Nor could we hear anything. After a few moments of flames on the recording, it turns into white noise for the remaining hour and 40 minutes. Rising, and rising to the point where near the end the pain threshold is reached, it's so loud. Then it abruptly ends, coinciding with the part of the camera footage where we retrieved the device. Analyzing the white noise revealed that the entity was speaking through it, calling out all three of our names. That's all the language we could make out. These experiences and many more shaped my perception of what is possible. In November of 2014, I was abducted by what you know as the Greys, and they forced me and four other young men to help kill an entire planet of humanoids in Iron Man-like machines. They claimed, telepathically, as they do not need to speak, that I was there for a special purpose and that I was family. They seemed to have an intense infatuation with me, and I was not really scared of the experience, although I woke up in sleep paralysis, not remembering who I was temporarily. That part was quite horrifying. In your opinion, am I going crazy? Has anyone else experienced these kinds of things? During my spring break of 1977, my family and three other families from the neighborhood I grew up in traveled to a Holiday Inn in Navarre Beach. My mother had told me it was a newly opened hotel. It had an indoor pool, arcade, gift shop, deli, and small movie theater. For its day, it was considered to be a very nice place, and my family went to this hotel 3 times. During our second visit in August of 1977, the film Jaws 2 was being filmed at Navarre, and I even got to see the mechanical Jaws stored with other movie equipment and props in the eastern portion of the hotel parking lot. During this spring break vacation around late March of 1977, there was a special showing of the film Bugsy Malone, which only children were permitted to attend. It was during the film that I started to feel a bit disoriented. I heard some other children crying, and I heard the sound of someone throwing up. At one point in the film, I got up from my chair to leave, but I was quickly escorted back to my chair by an usher in a black suit and black hat. I saw one or maybe two more men in black suits at the back of the theater. After the film was over, I felt just fine, and I never did complain to anyone about that experience. One evening on this vacation, I awoke and sat up in my bed. I looked across the room and could see a group of small figures in the dimly lit room. My brother was asleep to my right, and my parents were asleep in the bed to my left. The feeling I felt was something I had felt before, which I immediately recognized. It was a feeling I only felt when the Greys were near. I thought, it's been a while. And to a young boy about to turn 7, it had been over 2 years since his last encounter with the Greys. So it had felt like a long time. But then I could not move, and one of the figures moved towards me very fast, and the last thing I recalled was its big black eyes very close to my face and a wand-like object being pointed at me. Then there was blackness. The next thing I recall was being in the sand dunes away from the hotel in a circle of children. I must have been one of the youngest because I was the shortest. But my attention was more on the blue object directly over us that had a glowing blue light all about it. The closest thing I've seen to this shade of blue would be that of the blue glow of Cherenkov radiation that I've only seen in photos. Then there was blackness. The next morning was a Saturday, and I was watching cartoons. It was not till I was watching TV that I recalled that night's experience with the Greys and seeing the blue glowing sphere above me and the other children. I then told one of the other children who were traveling with us on this trip about my experience that night, and she did not believe me. I also recall walking around the hotel later that day and then getting up the nerve to tell my older brother, who also teased me. So when I was little, it was Easter 2011, and ever since I've been freaking scared of Easter. Well, not now, but for a couple years ago. This happened when I was in the fourth grade, so like 10 or something. A long time ago. I still had a room with my sister, and I just didn't like Easter for a long time, and this is why. I was in my room and I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw the outline of, you know what the Easter Bunny looks like if you go take your picture with it in the mall? And, I saw that. Just the outline. It just kept moving, moving. I had my eyes closed as if I was dreaming, calling Mom. Dad. Calling them out, just like, wake up and get this frigging thing away. Who knows what that was? I have no idea who that was. So scary. Like when I got older I was like, Mom, is there actually an Easter Bunny? She's like, no, there's me. It's like Santa, it's not real. Now the scary part. It goes like this, Jade makes a creepy smiley face and waves, and I flipped out. I was like freaking sweating, I'm like trembling, I'm calling my mom and dad as if I'm having a bad dream. I was trying to act as if I was sleeping like I was having a nightmare, while the Easter Bunny was looking at me through my door. I am finally able to go to sleep after freaking trembling. And it's like blue out. You know in the morning, it's like blue? And I saw this thing lying on my bed but it was in a different costume. It was like a thin little onesie kind of thing and it was like tiny. I go into my parents' room and tell them what happened and they go, oh honey, you were just daydreaming, all that crap. I used to live deep in the country. No buses, no local taxi services. I had a mother who liked to get tipsy, so I generally went to my friend's house who also live in an equally remote village. It was about 3 or 4 miles walk, which I would do because I wasn't able to drive yet. Anyway, one night I go over there, we get a bit high and watch a scary movie. It was Death Watch and F that movie with its possessed barbed wire. So at about 1 a.m. I head home. It's pitch black and I don't have a light, because I'm an idiot and this is pre-phones, there's no moon in the sky. As I say, I lived in the country, so there was goddamn barbed wire every F-where to keep people out of fields. So post-scary film with murderous barbed wire, I'm already on high alert and tanked up on adrenaline and then I suddenly hear it. Footsteps in some long grass. I stop stone cold in my tracks, absolutely convinced I was going to puke. I say frozen solid to see if the steps start up again. After about 30 seconds I think, F it, I have to get home or die, so I have to do something. I take a step and sure enough there's movement and the sound of a terrified baby cow running for its life. It was equally as terrified as I was apparently. I immediately laughed my ass off, and thanked whoever up there, and continued home significantly less tanked up on adrenaline. We were 19. This was before we go hiking during the day. We set up arrangements, gathered gear, food, and water, and made our way there. We used bug repellent, put on our lights, and started. We were near the halfway point, when I saw a weird-looking bush. When I came closer, it was a mountain lion. I guess we were causing a ruckus, so if you were in that situation, you would have guessed a mountain lion would investigate where all that noise was coming from. Anyway, I told my friend to stand very still, so that way, we won't activate its animal instincts. Then, we heard a thud. My friend turned around, and boom, another one. It must have smelled the food in our backpacks, so we were basically screwed. I said to my friend, stay quiet and still, so that way they won't eat us. He nodded in agreement. Then, we had a staring contest with the cougars. After what seemed like an eternity, they both went back to where they came from. So did us. Me, never again? Not hiking per se, but before I got a car, I would walk home from work until 3 to 4 a.m. via a trail. One time, I was walking home, and this guy was sitting on a bench with another guy about 15 feet from me, both looking sketchy, neither looked homeless, but they were just chilling on a bench on a trail at 3 a.m. I'm walking a bit faster when one of them shouts at me, hey, boy, come over here. Being super sketched out, I say, I gotta get home, man. I've been working all night, and I'm ready for bed. He takes offense and says, aw, come on now, I'm not gonna hurt you. I just wanna show you something. Come over here now. What are you, scared? I wasn't about to get mugged or killed or whatever, so I just walked as fast as I could without seeming like it was on purpose and said, I've had a long day working a crappy job making minimum wage, and I just want to get home and sleep. Another time maybe. Not sure if they were too lazy to go after me or figured it wasn't worth it or if maybe they honestly did just want to show me something. But they didn't follow me, and I made it home safely. I never took that path again, and soon after started working during the day instead. Not exactly hiking, but I was just strolling at 2 a.m. with my friends when we were on a sleepover. We were 15. My friend's house is kinda on the outskirts of the city and his big empty plot of land behind his house. We were just returning after the stroll when we saw a flame burning in that plot. Initially, we dismissed it as burning garbage, but the stench was too bad to be only garbage. 5 minutes later, three half-naked men with long beards came out of the bushes and put something in the fire. The stench increased even more. One of the men had what looked like an axe. Now, all four of us were shit scared when one of them thought the men had spotted. We didn't want to double check, but retrospectively, pretty sure we witnessed a human or animal sacrifice. This is India, by the way, so my guess is they were Agoras. I wasn't hiking, but it happened in a secluded place at night. This happened back in the late 80s. I was driving to Vermont to visit my grandmother and stopped at the first rest area on 91 North, which was a few miles over the Vermont border. If anyone has done this trip over the past 20 years or so, you probably stopped at the really nice Vermont Welcome Center that's nice and bright with plenty of parking, etc. Before that was built, the rest area was just a small secluded building set pretty far back from the highway. I had to pee, so I pulled into the rest area. It was dark and I was the only car there. This was before cell phones. When I got out of my car, there was a bank of pay phones, and as soon as I walked by them, one started ringing. Obviously, I picked up the phone and said hello. The guy on the other end started asking me some random questions and I humored him and made some small talk. He then said that he could see me. This is when I started to get a little freaked out. He wasn't at one of the other pay phones and there's no way he was on a cell phone. Can't remember exactly what I said, but I hung up. I still had to pee really bad, so I made my way into the bathroom anticipating coming face to face with an axe murderer. The bathroom was empty and I peed as fast as I possibly could and got the F out of there as quickly as possible. Looking back, all I can think is that someone probably wrote down some of the pay phone numbers and used to randomly call them to F with people. Mission accomplished. My father-in-law swears he has had an encounter with a Sasquatch in Virginia. His whole disposition changes when he speaks of it and a look of serious fear comes over him. He is still shook up about it to this day and does not hike at night anymore. I don't know if it was an animal or a human messing with him. But he is seriously impacted by his encounter. I run at night. One night, I picked a new trail from Google Maps and headed out at dusk. Most trails in Toronto have lighting or are close enough to steal light from some nearby buildings, so I figured this trail would be the same. It was not. It was an old railway trail, and there were no lights. It ran through the city, but it was flanked on both sides by forest strips. Because I run a lot at night, I'm pretty confident running in very dark conditions, so I put in my headphones and don't think much of the dark. After I've been on the trail for about a kilometer, I notice rustling to my right in the bushes out of the corner of my eye. It's probably a squirrel or raccoon, I figure, but I keep seeing it, so I decide to take out my headphones until I get back to light. Now, I can hear that whatever it is, it's keeping pace with me. The hair on my arms is now at full attention, and I'm filled with adrenaline. I pick up my speed until I'm basically in a full-on sprint, but I still keep looking to my right to see what it is. That's when a ray of street light breaks through from the other side of the forest and catches glowing green eyes. I almost stumble, and I'm trying not to panic now because falling could be very bad. But I have so much adrenaline that I can't slow down. I have my house key sticking through my middle and index finger so I can punch this thing with a pointed edge if it makes a move. Then, suddenly, I notice there's no longer anything in the bush, and I'm alone again. I finally came up on an area where the bush gave way to backyards, and I could calm down again. Probably a coyote in retrospect that wouldn't have attacked unless I fell or if it was rabid, but to this day, I've never had a bigger adrenaline rush. This actually happened the other week. My friend and I went to this hiking area around 11 at night. We expected more people to be there because it was a Saturday night, but we showed up and there wasn't a car in sight. We hiked for probably 2 hours around this place, up and down sides of rocks, only hearing the quiet sounds of nighttime. We finally decided to head back to the car, and by the time we got there, about 10 feet away from the driver's door, there was a backpack. There was no way it was there before we started, and we could not figure out where it came from. No footsteps or tire tracks indicated it had just happened, and it was perched straight up and waiting for one of us to open it. I felt like we were being watched, but I decided to nut up and open the backpack only to see clearish white tarp folded up inside of the bag. We didn't open it up much more before both deciding to get the F out of there, but we both still talk about how we should have taken it with us. Not a very climactic story, but I have dreams about it sometimes and often wonder if there was a head in there or if it was a drop spot for drugs. I can only retell one of my friend's stories. He's a very adventurous one and was casually hiking through the Canada wilderness through the night to get to some town. He and his friend came across a creepy-looking shack in the middle of the woods. When they got closer, there was a sign that said "Keep out or die," and the ground around it was littered with bullet casings. Around the back they found a giant pile of burned stuff. It was nearly dawn, so they could just barely see it. When they got closer, they realized it was a pile of burned bodies. They could make out some limbs in the pile. After seeing this, they booked it out of there. Only later did they find out it was just an abandoned horror movie set. I doubt I did his story justice, but I don't know if he has read it, and it's just too good of a story not to share.